Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. As always, I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on a lovely Monday again. Feeling good. How you feeling, man?
It's finally like fall weather here. Yeah. Like this past week was true fall weather, where it was down in like the 30s at night and shit. Mm-hmm. I'm just fucking...
I made the mistake.
This is my time of year, baby. It's dark at 6:30. Let's go.
I made the mistake of sleeping with my bedroom window cracked on the night that it got really cold.
Yeah.
And woke up that next morning with a bad case of sniffles. So that thankfully passed within the day. But I'm very happy. Did my fall cleaning yesterday, really. Got my purge of clothes out, so we are ready.
In the downtime before this, we were talking about how you just had a panic moment and went through your closet
I was feeling claustrophobic, man. The walls were moving in or closing in on me. I just got rid of everything. Yeah, and I normally do the whole like winter swap of clothes. I have my like jeans and all my winter stuff in a bin underneath my bed, and yeah, they gotta go into the drawers, and the summer stuff goes into the bin.
Yeah, you take all your sundresses and you put them in storage for the winter.
It's just, they're not a practical dress for the winter time.
Oh.
So I had to bring out the mink coats. Fake mink, of course.
I don't know. You seem like a real mink kind of person.
I am actually excited to get the alternative down comforter out.
Yeah.
Right now I'm still using the summer quilts, which is fine for now, but in the next month or so, that down comforter's coming out. Oh boy. You're going to have to like peel me out of bed.
Soul's going to be just glued to that thing.
Oh yeah. Well, he already is glued to his couch comforter now.
That's true. Yeah. I did forget about his couch comforter.
Well, what do you say we pick back up where we left off last week?
Yeah. We had an interesting end of the last week's, or to Friday's episode last week, mm-hmm. where it was one of the few ones where we're kind of caught in the middle of some action.
Yeah. Why don't you give us a recap?
So, last week, recap in general.
Yeah.
Paul decided that the best thing to do when finding drum sand was to continue stomping on it as loud as he possibly could, whipping up the fervor of a nearby sandworm, Shai-Hulud mm-hmm. himself, who then chased Paul and Jessica across open desert, running without, well, Jessica ran without problems. Paul tripped and fell. And then they get to the rocky edge, stand 3 feet into the rocky edge, and then just watch Shai-Hulud come out of the sand. One thing I forgot to mention last week, mm-hmm. this is our last time that we see Shai-Hulud in this
movie. We see him a little bit at the end.
I'm wrong. You're right. Holy shit. Cut that out.
Okay. Off into the distance.
That's right, because we do see a sand rider or a worm rider. Cut that out.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically Paul and Jessica are now stranded, and they make their way into a canyon to try and find some safety. And mm-hmm. instead of finding safety, they walk right into the Fremen that had been stalking them since they crashed.
Yep. And we get the beginnings of a tussle between Jessica and Paul and Stilgar and crew.
And RJ, not DJ.
Yeah, RJ is there.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of RJ and DJ this week, so... Yeah.
And then, at the last little bit is the beginning of a fight.
Yep. After being told that she is going to have to figure her own shit out because Jessica is old and cannot learn the ways of the Fremen, but Paul is
some shit talking young from enough. Stilgar.
Yeah. Yeah, Stilgar is kind of a dick here, but, you know, well, rightly so. You know, he's looking out for his people.
He's like so blasé about everything. I love it.
I
don't know if that was written in or if that's just Javier Bardem
himself.
Yeah.
I think Javier Bardem was I've said this about most casting roles. I think he was a perfect cast role for Stilgar.
Yeah. I'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it a lot more in part two, but Yeah.
I was going to say, like, I'll talk about it when I do my, like, book recap. By the way, I'm going to save my book notes for the end of the week.
Okay.
This week, just because there's some weird creative choices that they made.
Sure. Kind of like the other week where, you know, it was picking single sentences out and stuff like that. Which
is pretty much what happens here as well.
All right, cool.
So I'll just give like a big old hot steamy dump of book notes.
Jesus Christ.
At the end.
All right. Well, now that we all have that vision in our minds.
So
let's just get into this.
Yeah, let's talk about this this week's, or start this week off. We're going to be starting off right where we left off with minute 135 through 136. We last left Jessica and Stilgar, where Stilgar was on his knees and Jessica had his knife at his throat.
Yeah.
And the last scene that we get last from Friday's episode is of a Fremen falling down the cliff. Because I think Paul knocked him over or something.
Yeah, happened. Paul. So Paul's doing his like spin, you know, Power Rangers kicks and stuff to try and
his anime flips.
Yeah. One thing that we talked about as well is that we saw Paul grab something off of one of the Fremen last week.
Yep.
And Paul is continuing his way up. Jessica has fully. In my notes, I say headlocked, but it's more like body locked Stilgar because it's a really weird thing where she's got one hand on the knife on his throat. Another is on like his shoulder. And then like her right knee is in the middle of his back. But then her left leg is also like holding his left leg in a lock.
Yeah.
It's a really weird contorted
image. It's a very good like wrestling pin.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think that
it's a standing pin basically.
I think that counted competition.
I don't know. I was never, you know, my school didn't even have a wrestling team. So
bunch of nerds.
No, we were just a really small school.
I know.
We barely had a football team. Our varsity team was 8th grade through 12th grade.
Ooh, we had to go, you know, go deep in the bench.
Yeah. My graduating class was 36 people.
Oh my gosh. So
I think there were like 5 or 6 kids from my class just on the football team. Good so Lord. Yeah.
I mean, I've always considered my high school graduating class a little bit small. We were like 300.
Yeah, no.
Like in terms of like high schools in the South, like that 300 is small.
300 is tiny because so private school, right? Because my dad taught there so I could go for free and all that shit.
Nice.
I want to make this abundantly clear. I did not come from money at all. But like the public school my cousins went to, their graduating class was like 3,000. Just fucking insane.
You have to split up the graduation ceremonies, I would have to assume.
No, they just did it all at the University of Florida.
God almighty, that's so...
Like in their big auditorium and stuff.
Well, I'm just talking about like, I was thinking purely from a time standpoint. No,
it was just like 5 hours long.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Well...
Anyways,
I don't know how to segue to get us back into this.
I don't either. Wrestling stuff. Yeah. And here we are.
So Jessica has Stilgar in her standing pin, and the Fremen are kind of like circling around her and like enclosing in on the two of them.
Yeah,
rightfully so.
Because they know that there's way more of them than there is of her. Yeah.
There's a lot. I know I said I'll talk about books at the end, but there's a line from later in the books where. Stilgar is talking to Jessica and says, you know, you could best any one of us, but you will not take us if we're united.
Yeah.
You can't beat a group of us. So that's Jessica probably knows that very clearly here.
Sure. I mean, the Bene Gesserit had only spent thousands of years sprinkling propaganda and shit on this planet. So,
yeah. And Stilgar, barks a command at them and says, back you dogs.
I thought it was very interesting that he called his own people dogs.
So that is actually very true to the books.
Okay.
He is a snarky bitch in the books.
He's a sassy bitch.
Anyway, that's just the Fremen culture. They're rough and tumble, and you know they're just they're like that with each other, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought this line was interesting because that is also what Duncan says to the Harkonnen guards as he's stealing the ornithopter.
In the movie, he says, "To hell, you dogs."
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that's something that he picked up from
the "you dogs" thing.
Yeah, from Stilgar, because you know we Maybe. Know that Duncan spent time with him beforehand.
Sure.
Whether it was intentional or not, I love that little bit of continuity that we get between them.
Well, we're going to talk next week more about things that people pick up from other people.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's a nice little
through line.
Breadcrumb.
Yeah. So Paul continues to scamper up the hill like the little mouse that he is. And Stilgar continues his command. She goes, or he goes, "She'll cut my throat."
Yep. Yep. "Back, you dogs, she'll cut my throat."
Yep. So Paul reaches a vantage point up the hill a little bit, and we finally get to see exactly what he took off the Fremen. And it is something called a Mala pistol.
Yes.
A Mala pistol is, I'm reading straight from the Dune Wiki here.
Yeah.
It's only like a paragraph, so I was like, oh, I'll just read what they got.
I was going to ask if the encyclopedia had anything about the Mala pistol.
Yeah. Yep, they do. So before I read this definition, or let me just get into it. A Mala pistol is a handheld weapon used to fire poison darts. It's got a range of approximately 40 meters, and they are a spring-loaded mechanism.
This isn't the first time we've seen one of these either.
Is it? I was trying to think if we've seen one before.
Yeah. Dr. Yue.
Did we actually see the gun?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I did not even think about that. All right, cool. Then, yeah, that's what he was using as well.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I would assume the Sardaukar that tried shooting a dart at Duncan, Idaho, was also using a Mala pistol.
Or a variant thereof, yeah, sure.
Because we see Duncan deflect the dart, and it's the same dart that Yue shoots at Leto.
Yeah.
So one would assume.
That's fair. Yeah, very fair. I'm thinking that the ones that the Sardaukar use are probably a little different. Only because they're specifically designed to like keep going through shields.
Sure.
Fremen are not used to shielded combat, or, you know, altering their fighting styles to accommodate for shields.
Yeah.
So their pistols are probably more of like what we would know as a traditional projectile weapon.
Yeah. I do love how he just folds, like Paul just unfolds it and everything. It's very, very sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's compact.
But not though, because there are pistols that you can unfold and fold down like that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So that brings me to what I think, at least upon when I was writing these notes, is a little bit of a continuity error that I noticed. Did you also notice this?
I think I know where you're going, but I want to know where you're going first.
All right. So when Paul crouches down, before, and he starts to unfold the gun, his face mask is down, like hanging on his, like on his chest.
Correct.
The camera cuts to the gun as he folds it out to give a close up on the gun, and then pans back up to his face when he starts to take aim. And when we pan back up, his face mask is fully on his face. So,
yep, that's not the continuity error that I was thinking of.
Oh, good. Well, we have two then.
Yeah.
A little bit later on, I may contradict there's a scene where I was like, maybe it's not, but I'm pretty sure that this was a little bit of a continuity error here.
Yep.
Can we talk about yours now, or is it
mine is more obvious later on in the week. Right. We'll get to that when it's incredibly obvious.
Okay, cool.
And I want to apologize to the viewers. I did last week's and this week's thumbnails last night when I was doing all of my notes, or yesterday afternoon when I was doing all my notes and everything. Mm-hmm. There's like 10 episodes of just like dark thumbnails.
That's what this movie is, man.
So sorry, I'm doing the best I can with what I got here.
You just got to start hand drawing them or something.
I thought about like playing around with the brightness levels and stuff. But the problem is if you start like making them too bright, then you get like, even with the Blu-ray copy that I have, like, it's so difficult to not have it become so grainy when you brighten it up. So it's like,
I mean, it's already balanced for a very specific look. Doing any kind of like further editing is will lead to like artifacts and all that kind of stuff, so not great.
And I my artistic and graphic design skills mostly involve taking screenshots and putting my overlay that I had made all over the screenshot for the thumbnail, or drawing stick figures or dicks. So working with what I got here.
There you go. So back in the action, Stilgar is, he looks up at Jessica and goes, "Why didn't you say you were a weirding woman and a fighter?" Which was, this is a new term for us.
Yes.
We've not heard this, this term weirding woman before. And I want to talk about the weirding way, as it's known, what that is. And I also want to, talk a little bit about the Lynch movie, and how they interpreted this concept of the weirding way, because I don't like it.
We talked about the weirding way a little bit very early on, I think, when we were introduced to Jessica and the Bene Gesserit. So like episode 5 or 6.
That is an eternity ago.
Yeah. So let's kind of recap that a little bit here.
So from the Dune Wiki, shout outs to the editors of the Dune Wiki.
Of course.
Real ones. The weirding way is a form of movement heavily influenced by Prana Bindu physical and psychological training. If you recall, Prana Bindu training is the control of basically every muscle, independent control of every muscle in the body, like total control over breathing, heart rate, even
every drummer's, dream.
Yeah. Right.
Basically.
It was initially developed to use by the Bene Gesserit and later became important elements of the Fremen hand-to-hand combat during Paul's jihad. So how this relates to what just happened on screen is that it gives the ability to move incredibly fast, almost like you're teleporting.
Yep.
So you have just super, super fast movements. And we saw that with Jessica, like Stilgar
came at her. She fucking just like instantly overcame him and everything and was doing like flip. So he went for like a stab. She grabbed his wrist and like flips over his arm and everything. In the scene with the horrible CGI of Paul's face, we also see that as well, because we see the Fremen that we now know as Paul doing all of these same or very similar movements and stuff in combat against Sardaukar.
So if they were to try to stay true to the books and true to like kind of the universe that they're existing in, I don't think that they would. I mean, it would have looked like Stilgar started to attack her.
Yeah.
And then he was just instantly on his knees. Like, we wouldn't have seen the motions that went into how Jessica pinned him down.
Yeah.
So understandably, just to
very give, like anime, like just suddenly appeared from behind and like,
well, yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously we need to be able to show something different. So that doesn't translate very well onto the screen,
at least in live action.
So
I think the way that they did it was,
it was great.
Great.
Yeah. It was really, really good. It is a, just a short burst of super, super fast movements that almost are undetectable to the eye.
Yep.
And from an observer's perspective, it looks like they just teleported or just like, the Wiki and the encyclopedia go into like how it is like altering reality, which is a little heady, and I don't want to like get into that, but it's a very, very unique, really cool fighting style that Jessica, as a Bene Gesserit, has been trained in.
Sure.
Now, how did they portray that in the Lynch movie? Do you remember?
No.
Okay. You're usually asleep by this point, I think.
Yeah. I think I've been awake, like fully awake, by the time that Paul and Jessica are in the desert together, maybe once in my entire life.
Fair enough. So in the Lynch movie, this was made back in 1984.
Yep.
CG was, at least for this movie, was not
CG
great.
Was perfect. What are you talking about?
just the limitations of CGI was fairly strict limitations back in the 80s, especially for this movie, or for the Dune movie.
Yeah.
So there was not a really good way of translating this weirding way into the film. They didn't have a good way of doing it. So they altered it in probably one of the biggest alterations from the source material to that movie. They introduced something called the Weirding Module.
Okay.
Which is a gun, I guess.
Okay.
But it is a gun that is activated by words. And different words.
I love the Lynch film. I love how fucking weird it is.
It's so crazy. I'll let me read you what the wiki has to say about this, the weirding modules from Lynch's movie. It says, in David Lynch's Dune, the weirding module is a sonic beam weapon that translates certain specific sounds into attacks of varying potencies. These devices are not present in the original novels by Frank Herbert. So as they're like learning how to use these weirding modules, they're trying out different words to see which ones create different attacks and whatnot, and like
ass.
Yeah, right. It's like a very weird Siri on your phone. So they find that the word Maudib, which will become a lot more familiar with in the next movie, it's Paul's name, that when he gets into the
one of Paul's
names. Yes, thank you.
Paul Usum Wadib Atreides.
Yeah. That has like a particularly potent attack that comes out of the weirding module.
Of course it does.
Yeah. And that leads Paul into saying the line from the book, which has a completely different context in the book than it does in the Lynch movie. But it's one
whoa,
of my...
Whoa. You mean to tell me that there's inconsistencies and...
Well, it's one of
gross inconsistencies, I should say, because there's inconsistencies in this movie, but
yeah, they took a lot of liberties in that movie. But it leads him to say the words, "My name is a killing word." And it has a completely different context in the Lynch movie than it does in the movie.
Yep.
And it really subtracts from the seriousness of everything, which up until that point had been a very serious movie.
This absolutely had.
So
with
if you look at the the props that they used, it almost looks like a Hasselblad medium format camera. Do you know what those look like?
Yeah.
It looks like one of those that they just kind of that hold out and shout Maudib and it goes pew. It's so dumb.
Oh god.
So yeah, that's how they interpret the weirding way. And I don't like it. It makes me laugh, but I'm like, this is so dumb.
This is so wrong. Well, I think Denis Villeneuve did a good enough job with interpreting the weirding way here. Yeah, so. Yeah.
So Stilgar calls it out. He says, why didn't you say you were a weirding woman and a fighter? And Jessica quips back. I love a good like Jessica quip.
Yeah.
Love it. She goes, our conversation ran short. So.
And then he's like, peace, woman, peace. Yeah.
Again, unserious. Yeah. He's just so blasé about things.
I judged too hastily.
Yeah.
And then Jessica just takes the biggest sniff of Stilgar.
What the hell was this?
I do not know. I was so confused. And I was thinking, it's like, okay, maybe there's some fucking Bene Gesserit bullshit where she can like see if he's lying based on
I couldn't find anything, man.
Yeah, and I was looking and Nope. Just a big old sniff of this stinky desert man.
All right, Jessica. I mean, she's into some weird stuff, apparently. So,
stressing out and sniffing people.
And that part really took me out of like my suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. And I was just like, what?
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So she releases him and starts to address the crowd.
Well, he does.
Yes, he starts to address the crowd. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, typo in my notes, my bad.
And in Jacobsa, he says, "The sun is rising. We must reach Sich Tabor. The fates of these strangers will be decided there. Until then, they have my countenance. My word is on them." And then we see Stilgar take his Chris knife, slice the top of his wrist as he's saying this, and the rest of the Fremen, except for one, follow suit. Blood is spilt on their Chris knives, and they can be sheathed. And I think that's why he does that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like a, you know, their word is on me, but then here's also a blood thing. It's simply just the tradition of if a Chris knife is drawn, blood must be drawn as well before it can be sheathed.
Now, we have talked about this a lot in past episodes, but that rule of the Chris knife is never explained in this movie.
Yeah.
So I think knowing that, we know what's going on.
Right.
To the casual viewer of this movie, I think it could be interpreted, and fine, it's a fine interpretation, as like a blood pact or blood oath kind of thing. So it doesn't detract from anything, but it is a nice little Easter egg for folks who know, to be like, ah, cool, they actually did it.
And we talked about too, when Shout Out gave a Chris knife to Paul, that,
or to Jessica,
we talked about how it was surprising that Shout Out, someone who as devout as her, would have allowed Jessica to resheathe the Chris knife without drawing blood.
Yep. So I'm glad they're following the rules out here.
Yep.
There's maybe you know, the folks in the city are a little more lenient on certain traditions and rules. Now out here in the desert, you know, we got to follow everything.
Yeah. Well, Stilgar, as we will find out in part two, is an incredibly devout man. Yeah. So it would make sense that he would follow all of these traditions and customs to the letter.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
But that's where our minute ends.
That's it. Yeah. Like I said, I'll save all my book notes for later in the week. So nothing else from my end. Any other notes on yours?
Nothing from me. Talked about it a little bit last week, but basically from this point on, in Art and Soul, heavily referenced, never sponsored.
Yep.
The only discussion that remains is mostly on things that we've already talked about, with the creation and the inspiration and design of the still suits for this movie.
Yeah.
And actually how some of the decisions from the Lynch film were important for the creation of the still suits for this film and everything. But it's more just like character biographies of Stilgar and Jameis and Chani, things that we've already talked about or will talk about this week. So
okay, cool. Yeah, I'm sure there's still useful information in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to reach out to us, we're available at a wide variety of social medias. We have a new one, I believe.
We do. Yeah. So I made an announcement on Twitter and Instagram yesterday. But we are also now on Blue Sky because Elon Musk is trash and Twitter is trash. I hate it so much there.
I'm happy to say that I've never... to have a Twitter account.
You do, because it follows mine.
Yeah, but like I have never used it for anything.
No. Regardless, you can find us on Blue Sky, DuneMinute.bsky.social, If you just search at Dune Minute, you'll also find us there.
Okay.
Cool. On Instagram, we are the Dune Minute, because that's what Zach set it up as, and I never wanted to actually change it. On Twitter, we are at Dune Minute, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we will be back tomorrow with a Tuesday episode talking a little bit more about what's going on in this canyon.
All right, cool. We'll see you then.